Thanks for joining us at Faith. We hope the message you're about to hear encourages your day and draws you closer to Jesus. If you'd like to join us for service or find out more about the church, visit faith.church. That's faith.church.
Good morning, everybody. Look at you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in here. How many, just show of hands, wanted to just stay this time and stop messing with us every year? Anybody? Because doesn't this mean we have, like, it stays light later? Beautiful. Yeah. You know, we're people of the light. We should just embrace it and stop messing around. All right, let's start a petition. Just kidding. Don't bother with that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is always true. We set our confidence not in ourselves, but in who you are. So we say thank you. There really is no one like you. There's no one deserving of praise and honor and glory like you. We love and trust you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So y'all know that we are in a series called Nothing is Impossible. Nothing is impossible. I don't know if you guys caught this, but my message last week was titled, literally. That's it. Did you guys notice that? Did anybody notice that? Like, literally, nothing is impossible for those who believe. Jesus said that. I trust him. And I hope you trust him as well. We've got a couple key scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this, "In the Spirit, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." If you are in Christ, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, and that makes dead things come alive. Amen? See, we are people who live from the power of the resurrection, not like people who are trying to find resurrection. We are walking now in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Some of us, we need a revelation and a reframing of the way we think to remind ourselves that nothing is impossible. Not because of us, but because of him who lives in us, the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 says this. Actually, let's turn there. If you've got your Bibles with you, I've got 6 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Why are you laughing? I heard that. I love this passage of Scripture. Starting in verse 9, I'm going to read it. You don't have it on the slides, but it says, "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos." He says here, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, 'Write what you see in the book to the seven churches.'" And it goes on to say, "And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a white robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters." Friends, when John saw this vision, he fell as though dead on the ground. And then that one who he saw said this, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell." Jesus is the one who came as a man, went through everything and was tested just like you and I, and even more so. And then he went through even to death on a cross by his own willing laying down of his life so that he could then raise from the dead, putting the enemy to open shame because the grave could not hold him in the ground. And now Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and that is one of the key reasons you can have hope. Paul says if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we are of all people to be pitied. You can anchor your hope in this. Jesus is alive. I'm in a walking mood, so I'm going to push this towards the front a little bit. Excuse me. Jesus is alive, and we can set our hope in him. Anybody struggling with hopelessness in this crowd today? I believe the Lord has a word of encouragement for you. So I pray that you receive it by the Spirit, not because I'm trying to convince you, but because the Holy Spirit will convince you that you have a sure hope. That is the title of today's message, Hope. Our series, we're going to be talking about hope today. Next week, Pastor Jason will be back from Thailand. He's going to be speaking about joy. And following week, we're going to be speaking about peace. And not just peace like a lack of conflict, but wholeness. Shalom. So this word, hope, what does it mean? It's a label we put on an emotion, but this is actually a noun. And in the Greek, the word is elpis. It's like someone who's speaking Spanglish saying elpis, you know? Elpis that comes. Elpis, which means joyful, confident expectation. Did you know that? That's what hope means. It means that you have a joyful confidence, expectancy. I was talking to a friend this morning. Back in the day, she's sharing a testimony. Hopefully she won't mind me saying this. They got news that her husband had cancer, and they had the doctor saying, you'll never this, and you'll never that, and you'll never this, and you'll never that, and here's the other 15 things of bad news, and he'll only live this long. And she said, we weren't happy, but we were joyful. See, joy isn't an emotion like happiness, excuse me. Joy is this steadfastness, this contentment that overflows from a place of being anchored in hope. Joyful and confident expectation. What do you expect from God? You ever think about that? As you go in your day to day, or when you show up to church, or when you sit, when you spend time with him during your day, what is it that you're expecting from him? I want to encourage you that it is time to stop thinking small about what you're expecting from God and recognize that he is willing to do far and exceedingly above and beyond what you could ever ask, think, or imagine. You can anchor your hope in that fact. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? God wants to change your paradigm about what you are hoping for and why you are hoping. According to Gallup, I hear that clap, thank you. God's good. According to Gallup today, and you don't have to look at Gallup polls to know this, people struggle more now than they ever have regarding feeling hopeful. There are lots of reasons for this, but I would propose that the key reason for this is that people have forgotten who God is. There is nothing like watching someone get bad news, it hits them like a ton of bricks, and then they look to the Lord, and they are strengthened, and then joyful confidence comes forward. Where does that come from? And how do you get that? I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that in the next 37 seconds. I love Tim Keller. I quoted him last week, and I accidentally attributed the Message Bible to Jordan Peterson, apparently, twice. He has not written a paraphrase of the Bible that I know of. That was Eugene Peterson. So forgive me for that. I'm human, you know. Well, I remember so much. But Tim Keller says this. He says, our present behavior is determined by what we believe our ultimate future to be. I'll tell you this. This is not our home. Now, I don't want you walking around and being like, doesn't matter, it's all going to burn. Whatever. No, because actually that would be disobedient to the call of Christ on you as a believer. While you're here, you have a mission. And before you say, oh, here he goes with the mission stuff again. No, listen, the church's job is to be on mission. Jesus did it. He sought what was lost and brought it home. Your job is that as well. He's a reconciler of all things. And then he said, yo, now you have the ministry of reconciling all things. It's your ministry now. Start bringing people into reconciliation with the Father. Guys, we have a mission to be about. But I'll tell you what, it is tough to do our mission if we lack hope. It's tough to do the work in your marriage if you lack hope that it can improve. It's tough to care about your city if you feel like it's just going to hell in a handbasket anyway. There's nothing we can do about it. Just let it slide off the cliff. No. Hear what the voice of the Lord is saying. He says, I am the reconciler of all things. Now, of course, if you look at us and say, well, what can I do? Really, what can I do that can make a difference? Listen, it isn't about what you can or cannot do. It is about what he is able to do and wants to do and what he's inviting all of us into. Some of you need to see miracles in your marriages, in your health, in your finances, whatever it is, any area of life where you find yourself hopeless, God is saying there is hope for the hopeless situation. He's saying there is hope. That thing you think may be dead or just a stump in the ground, did you know that at the scent of water, Job says, a stump can spring forth and bear fruit? What? Remember, water is a symbol for the Holy Spirit oftentimes in the Bible. And I think he was prophetically speaking to the church today when he said, though a tree be cut off at its stump, at the scent of water, it will spring forth again. Friends, the church has been cut off for decades, but God is saying, I am going to pour out my Spirit, and at the scent of it, it is going to spring forth and bear fruit. Do you guys believe that? I just want to speak that word of encouragement into you today. Because again, we aren't people who are living to try to like find some kind of victory in the resurrection. We already have it. That's what Tim is talking about in this quote. He's saying that the way you behave now is directly related to what you believe about God and the future. Be convinced. Be convinced that God, there is no plan that can succeed against God's plan. There isn't one. As crafty as the enemy might be, he still is puny in power and scope and knowledge and wisdom and understanding compared to the Lord God Almighty. So get some courage. Get some courage. All right, that was my intro. Christian hope is unique in the world because the world sets its hopes in partially known possibilities. I might open a business hoping it succeeds because I'm looking at the market conditions and I've got the indicators and I think now's the time. Or maybe you hear people who buy cryptocurrency, they're like, now's the time. I've been watching the indicators. What are they doing? They're putting their hope in something they can kind of see an indication of. You see, the Christian's hope is different because it isn't actually anchored in circumstance. It's anchored in something different, further out there. I put it this way. I tried to make this as condensed as I could, but it says this. The Christian's hope is anchored not in circumstance, but in certainty about God's future and his character. That character was demonstrated then in Christ's work on the cross and affirmed in us every day by the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're thinking, man, this guy really loves the Trinity. He's always talking about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? Yes, absolutely. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These things the Christian's hope is anchored in who God is, what his plans are. We know those things because of how Jesus lived his life and what he did for us. And not only that, sometimes we need extra convincing. Jesus told his disciples, like we've been saying all month and last month, is that he was going to go away, and it was to the disciples' advantage that he would go away, because then the Holy Spirit could come, another helper, another one just like Jesus, but could be everywhere at the same time. Was going to come, and that Holy Spirit was going to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Interesting. And then he unpacks it for them. He says he's going to convince the world of sin because they do not yet know me. And then he's going to convict you of righteousness or right standing with God because I am going away and you'll see me no longer. And then he says, and then he's going to convict the enemy of judgment because he is already judged. Friends, Holy Spirit has a lot of jobs. One of them is to convince you of your right standing before God Almighty because of the work of Jesus. This word, convict, is the word that's used like in a court of law where someone proves beyond a shadow of a doubt something. And the Holy Spirit, one of the things he wants to do for you today is convince you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is for you, not against you, that his plans are good, that he wants to prosper you, that he wants to bless you, heal you, set all things right. And even if he doesn't physically do it in this world, everything will be reconciled. There's hope for that. I'm glad you clapped because I was getting a little desperate for some water. Friends, your Christian hope is anchored in the very character and nature of God Almighty and shown to you by the work that Jesus worked on the cross. And every day, the Holy Spirit is available to teach you afresh when we forget who God is. Not only that, who you now are if you are in Christ. Man, isn't that good news? We walk around saying, I'm not sure I want to share my faith because it's kind of like, well, Jesus died on the cross and it's like, no, hey, guess what? We're all suckers and we needed him to rescue us because we couldn't rescue ourselves. And he did it. And he did it gladly. Not only that, he left the Holy Spirit to teach you every day because he knows you're going to stumble every day who you are. Not only that, who your spouse is, who your kids are, who they're going to become, who your dirtbag neighbor needs to become, whatever it might be. God is there living in you to build you up and encourage you. So friends, if you find yourself hopeless, I want you to start praying prayers like this. Holy Spirit, show me afresh. Reveal afresh to me who the Father is, what the Son's work accomplished, and what that means in my life. Convict me of that. Prove it to me. I'd love it if we could follow, I don't remember who said it, but they said, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Someone else took it even further, that the goal isn't to think high of yourself or low of yourself, but just to simply not think about yourself anymore. It doesn't have to be about you. Because that's what happened in the garden, is Adam and Eve became self-conscious of themselves and their nakedness and their lack. And God wants you to be conscious of him and what he is doing and what he has done and what he will do. Are you convinced yet? Romans chapter 5, if we could turn over there. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, We have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So how do we get this hope? Romans chapter 5, my friends. We're going to look at Romans chapter 15 as well. But before I move on, I want to pray and ask you, Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us. Teach us how to hope. In Jesus' name. Man, we need a revelation, friends. Here's the deal. Every day there's an invitation to endure difficulty. Can I get an amen? Amen. Real stuff. We were speaking with a friend before the weekend came. I think it was Friday or Thursday. And she was expressing how she's afraid of giving technology to her kids because of what could happen, right? And I love this. My son Samuel said, you know what's interesting, because we were talking kind of all two families together. He said, you know what's interesting is fear and faith have the same definition, which I think Pastor Jason shared a few sermons ago, that fear is believing that something that hasn't happened will happen. Faith is believing that something that hasn't happened will happen. You follow what I'm saying? And so where are you putting your faith? Like, what are you being motivated by? Fear or the promise? And to encourage her, we just said, look, you know, yeah, bad stuff can happen. But what can happen can also be, I'm going to coin a phrase here, unhappened. God can undo even our worst faux pas and mistakes. He is so good at that. Now, I'm not saying let your kids drive off a cliff in a car at 14 years old and, you know, whatever will happen. God's amazing. He can work miracles. No, there's wisdom as well, right? We know this. If you have raised kids or you have been around on the planet at all, you know that boundaries are a good and healthy thing. But we don't have to be afraid. Because even in your brokenness and in your mistakes, God is a professional at working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called to his purposes. Romans 8:28. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we aren't motivated by fear. We are motivated from a place of hope. Hope in what? Hope in the promise. But more than that, hope in the promiser. The one who makes the promise. The one who says the truth. God the Father himself. See, there's an invitation, and that invitation leads us, according to chapter 5 here in Romans, to endurance. And this word endurance means, or could be translated as the word patience, long-suffering, waiting with God as we wait for something to be accomplished in us. But that invitation to endure produces something in us. And I would propose to you it's two things. It produces in you character, strength of character to endure the next time, but also it shows you something about God's character. If you've ever been around somebody who's been through difficulty or been down to hell and back, like this friend I was talking to this morning, she can look at difficulty and say, but I know. I have seen it with my own eyes. The scriptures are true, and God is true to his character and nature. Do you follow what I'm saying? So it strengthens your ability to say, I don't think so, Satan. I know who my God is. So that endurance produces character, also revealing the character and nature of God in us. And when you possess that, you can anchor yourself in hope. And that's why that hope doesn't put you to shame, because that hope, we'll put it this way, is well-founded. You may not see the promise, but you know the character and nature of the one who is speaking about that promise and making that promise. Do you follow what I'm saying today? You can anchor yourself with a level of certainty and joyful expectation that God will do what he said he will do, because you know what he is like. Let me take you over to Romans chapter 15 real quick. I think we have this scripture in the notes. There's two scriptures here, verse 4 and verse 13, and it says this: for whatever was written in former days was for our instruction, that through endurance, hear this, through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Interesting. If you want to get hope, you need to say yes to the invitation to suffer with God. I know you probably came to church to be encouraged today. You said you got up that extra hour early and you're like, hopefully it's going to be encouraging. Well, this is going to equip you to be able to do the battle that is ahead. Listen to what the scripture says. Through the encouragement of the scriptures and through endurance, you will find hope. I don't think you guys are hearing what I'm saying. If I was diagnosed with cancer tomorrow, that'd be pretty discouraging. Or if a friend of mine got in a car accident, lost his life, and left behind his family, that'd be really discouraging. Be discouraging for the family. However, the story doesn't end there. Someone said it once, if it's not good, God isn't done yet. Because Romans 8:28, and what we know in the scriptures is that God is constantly working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called to his purposes. Do you love him? Then he is working for your good. He actually is. If the invitation to endure pain presents itself, like a car accident or an illness or something else unexpected that tries to knock you off of your rails, you could choose to not go through that situation. You could ignore it. You could numb yourself. You could deny it, whatever. But the invitation exists there to go through that situation. And the Holy Spirit is there along the way to convince you and convict you of the fact that God is good and he will work this for good. Do you follow me? If you don't face that situation and go through it, you won't be able to be on the other side and say, look at what God did. So it's through enduring and through the scriptures. Why does Paul say this to the Romans? I'll tell you why. Because I've met people who are all hyped on emotion and believe God will do this and this and this and that, but they don't even know the scriptures. They don't actually know God's character as revealed here. So then when their experiences try to teach them about who God is and what his character is like, it's distorted because they don't know the word. It's easy to misinterpret God's intentions or his character and nature when we don't know the word. And that's why Paul's saying, hey, go endure, but also be encouraged in the scriptures. Let the scriptures teach you who God is. And then your experiences fill in those gaps. It's not the other way around. We don't let our experiences inform who God is to us and then fill it in the cracks. That's a classic opportunity for misinterpretation and application of the scriptures. It is through the encouragement of the scriptures and through endurance that we learn hope, hope that is anchored in the character and nature of God. Can I illustrate this for you? Oh, I forgot verse 13. This is so exciting. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Lest you think hope comes from you, Paul wrote this for us. Hope comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in us. Isn't that beautiful? so good that he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us the scriptures, and he gave us the example, he gave us community so that we could overflow and abound in this joyful, expectant hope of what he wants to do. In-N-Out's being built nearby. Any In-N-Out fans in here? I know the young adults are fans. All right, so you all are fake Californians. You can get up and leave and go to California right now. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, In-N-Out's being built, and maybe this is kind of like a juvenile, kind of silly example, but when I saw that In-N-Out was being built, I didn't think, well, I sure hope they're actually going to build it. I'll have a burger there sometime. I hope they're going to build it. Are they really going to build it? Probably not. No. I instantly got on the young adults chat, and I was like, guys, guess what I saw at 52nd and Wads? And they're all guessing. Somebody said snarkily, 53rd? Funny, Jacob. But, I mean, the chat blew up. And then I shared, it's In-N-Out. And there's a bunch of people left the chat and will never come back at that point. But no, hear me out. I was excited, and all I saw was some plywood on some walls and a little sign on the gate that said, In-N-Out, coming soon. And I was like, that's coming, it's happening. I was envisioning myself having burgers with my grandkids one day there and getting a shake when God heals me of being lactose intolerant or whatever. But I want to tell you, I had joyful expectation in the fleshy realm for burgers and fries because I know something about In-N-Out. You follow what I'm saying? I know that when they say, we're going to build a building and we're going to open a restaurant, they actually are going to do it. And it's not going to take 2 years or 5 years like some other chains. Sometimes what's crazy about In-N-Out is you're like, I didn't even know they were going to do that. There's just one going to happen. It's going to be here. It's within 10 minutes. That means it's a once a week thing now. Not really. Maybe once a week if I go without the bread on the burger, but that's weird. So, but you guys hear what I'm saying? I know something about In-N-Out as a company. They're fast, they're efficient, and they do what they say they're going to do. All right? Now, this is kind of a crude example. But this is the same way it works with us and God. When you know something about him through the scriptures and your experiences are showing you this because you've endured through difficulty and come out on the other side, and then you can say, like, now I know. Not just here, I know here, experientially. I know this about God. Then your confidence and your expectation comes up when you see that next difficulty or when that word of the Lord says, this is where I want you to go and this is what I want you to do. You can go, yeah. He's going to do it. Why? Because you know something about him. Does that make sense? All right. Thanks for humoring me on that goofy example. Hebrews chapter 6 says this, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Hear this. God has given both his promise and his oath. His promise should be enough. But if that wasn't enough, he understands our frailty that sometimes we misinterpret his, we don't understand his character perfectly well. He not only gave us a promise, he put an oath on top of it as well. So that we could be perfectly sure that he would not change his mind. And these two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It is a strong, trustworthy anchor for our souls because our souls, our mind, will, and emotions want to pull us all over the place like a ship tossed in the sea. And he's saying that when we grab a hold of his character and nature and the certainty of who he is, that in that place, our hope becomes to us like a strong anchor, anchoring us to himself. Tell you what, this hope then leads us through the curtain, this is talking about the temple illustration, into the God's inner sanctuary or the Holy of Holies. This is the intimate firsthand knowledge. Friends, in difficulty, in enduring, in the challenge, you learn hope, and God then invites you to know intimate things about himself. Psalm 24, verse 5 says this, that friendship with the Lord is for those who fear him or revere him and respect him and honor him, and that he then what? He shares secret things with them. Now, I'm not saying he's going to give you a new book of the Bible to write, but he's going to show you things about himself through enduring and through hoping that you would otherwise never know. There's treasure in that difficulty, friends. And since we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called to his purposes, I want to challenge you to do something this week. Make it a habit, and that is to look for evidence of God's goodness in your life. Look for evidence and stack it up. Put it in a journal. When we were adopting Jessica and Anna from Colombia, Pastor Jim encouraged me to do this, to take note of every challenging circumstance that we would lay before the Lord in prayer. And I had a list. I have a brand new journal now, but it's in the back of my other journal, a whole list, I think it's 15 or 16 things, all of them with check marks next to them because of the goodness of God. And when I come up against unknown circumstances or challenges, I can say, I know that God is able. I know that he's able. And friends, God is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to teach you and convince you of that fact every day. You have a sure hope. In fact, you have a living hope. It is alive in Jesus as he lives to make intercession for you and for me. Isn't that beautiful? So I'm going to read a couple scriptures over you. I'd like you to stand with me. If you can prepare to take communion together. Thank you for the extra time today. I'm going to read this prayer over us from 1 Peter. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Regardless of what God might do in your life today or tomorrow, know this, you have an eternal inheritance that is being kept for you. It's being kept imperishable, undefiled, and unfading in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 1, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us and convict us and prove to us who we are and who you are and how powerful you are. God, would you convince us of hope, that there is hope in every situation, for every problem. There is a solution, and that solution is found in you. Lord God, would you give us courage to really trust you when you say, to take a risk with you, to step into healing, to endure, to wait, to be patient, to learn your character and nature, and to love well, God, that you'd give us courage to obey because we trust you. I'd like you to take the bread from the communion. God put us back in right standing with himself through the indestructible life of Jesus. This bread represents his body, which was pierced and striped and beaten and broken for us, because we couldn't come back into right relationship with him by ourselves. So if you're standing by yourself, go move over close to somebody. Take this with someone. The bread that represents the broken body of Jesus. And as you take it, give thanks to him that his work made you whole. And I love this picture. Jesus, after he had broken the bread and told his disciples that it was his body broken for them, he took the wine at dinner and he said, "This is blood of a new covenant." Another way you could put this is a new promise. It's a new deal God was cutting with us as humans to say, now, it's not your work and adhering to the law. Now, it's faith in the work of Jesus Christ that makes you right with God. So as you take this juice, take it with thanksgiving, recognizing the powerful work of Jesus that he worked willingly for you and me on the cross. Take this. Thank you, Lord God. We ask that you'd come. Move powerfully in our midst. Move powerfully in our city. Move powerfully amongst the youth. Move powerfully in A West and in Ralston Valley and in Oberon and Vanderhoof, Lincoln Academy and Faith Christian Academy, God, and Forge High School and all the other schools and places that I'm forgetting. All the churches, God, that are here. Would you cause an awakening and a revival to come? We're believing for that. Our hope is in you. We have no hope if it wasn't found in you. So stir us up to trust you and to hope for the very things that you wish to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Listen, friends, as you get ready to leave, make sure if you see someone you haven't seen before, because we're a welcoming church and a friendly church, say hey to somebody you have never met before. And don't forget, you can grab these invite cards on your way out to invite your friends. We love you guys. Have an amazing week, and thank you for coming.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to watch a service live online, you can join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. at live.faith.church. For everything else, visit faith.church. That's faith.church.